Welcome to the Personal Innovation Podcast, brought to you by PersonalInnovationHub.com. This podcast is all about igniting dreams, passions, careers, and social impact. The objective is for us all to master our inner gifts, create our own future, and live our lives as a love story while leaving a dent on the universe. And now, here's your host, Eric Suryiram.
Hello, innovation family. My name is Eric Suryiram, your personal innovation evangelist. My work is simply to make us all think bigger about who we are, what we do in a unique way, and how we can change the world by doing work we love. Remember to subscribe to the Personal Innovation Podcast on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, and on Android, get the Stitcher or TuneIn app. And visit personalinnovationhub.com. It is where you want to go if you are thinking of building a brand based on your unique persona. If you want to reach me, email me, coaching@personalinnovationhub.com. In this episode of your Motivational Personal Innovation Podcast, I bring to you an interesting chat between me and a gentleman by name Gamely Ajao. And I am sure that he's prepared to give us a lot of value nuggets today. But before then, he will give us his favorite quote.
My favorite quote is, "Chance favors the prepared mind," by Louis Pasteur.
"Chance favors the
prepared mind."
"Prepared mind," by
Louis Pasteur.
Oh, great. Gamely, are you ready to help my listeners to dream no matter how small, become more passionate about their dreams, create their own unique careers, and leave a dent on the universe?
Absolutely.
Great. Would you rather innovate or stagnate?
Innovate.
Why do you want to innovate?
Because I believe that everybody has the ability to contribute to solving the challenges we face in the world, and therefore I want to be an example by demonstrating that.
Wow, that's interesting. Can you please tell us a bit more about yourself?
So my name is Gamely Ajao. I work in the public health space. Currently, I'm employed at an international NGO where I work in partnership with the public health service to implement various sexual and reproductive health and rights projects. The aim is to make services in that area available to as many women as possible in Ghana, in order to ensure that they enjoy their health and well-being consistent with the Sustainable Development Goals. I'm also very active in the area of STEM. So STEM is an acronym for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, where I run various projects to help young people to appreciate how the world works and how the universe works in a more, you know, practical direction, and also help them to build like various skills and competencies that help them to be able to either harness the opportunities around them or to be able to solve problems and challenges in their environment.
What do you want to tell my listeners about STEM that you think that they don't know about?
STEM is a very important area, and it has a capacity to transform Ghana and to transform Africa and put it on the next stage as far as development is concerned. Because countries that invest heavily in STEM are those countries that are advancing rapidly. So we talk of countries like South Korea and Israel. Their development miracle did not just happen by chance. It happened as a result of deliberate policies that promoted integration and growth of science, technology, and innovation in their societies.
Wow. Interesting. Since childhood, what have you always dreamt or fantasized becoming?
Okay, so I've dreamt of a couple of different things. At one point, I thought I was going to become a doctor so that I can help people to stay healthy and also find a healing whenever they are ill, you know, and save lives. You know, it was such a wonderful thing. Along the line, I also thought maybe I should become a computer scientist, you know, create technology, create software, you know, just solve problems, you know, using technology and create exciting stuff. And, but currently I'm working in the public health space, like I said. So I studied for a biochemistry degree at the University of Ghana. And somewhere along the line, I discovered public health because it was one of the courses I took, and I was excited that, I mean, we are looking at health from a population point of view. We are looking at how to prevent people from getting ill. We are looking at how to optimize people's living conditions. And so I thought that was really, really interesting, you know, and that would save the country a lot of money if you look at the kinds of interventions that are applied in that space. And so I was like, yes, I finally found a path that allows me to combine various passions with the idea of solving problems, the idea of using science and technology, you know, coming out with interesting ideas and implementing them. And at the same time, doing something that will ensure human health and well-being. So it has become like a very wonderful
what I am understanding from this is that you have a mixed passion and you are putting this mix together to essentially deliver value or create value for your community. What puts you on fire today? What is your passion today?
Yeah, precisely. So I said that, I'm always moved by the challenge of kind of like coming up with solutions to problems that we face. And I think that's what moves me, you know. And what you've said, your observation about the fact that it looks as if I'm interested in different topics, it's true in the sense that, you know, in the world in which we live, the problems that we face don't come clothed in particular disciplines. You know, there's no chemistry problem. There's no biology problem. There's no literature or business or history problem as such. Most problems are problems that affect people and how we strive to resolve them. And so they come in very complex forms, you know. And one of the reasons why we find it difficult to overcome the challenges that we face in our society is that we think in a very compartmentalized fashion. We seem to be like, oh, this is engineering, so I'm going to use an engineering solution. It doesn't work that way. And so that integrated thinking and holistic way of looking at things is a very important thing. And that's one paradigm that I'm trying very hard.
I am very appreciative with this type of concept that you're bringing to fore now. And I'm thinking that this is good. What would you say? I know that you've done some education. You've been a teacher.
Yeah.
What would you say is the reason why our educational system is not encouraging this, and we are still thinking that if you went to school to study maths, it means you need to be doing something necessarily in that field? Yes, we do what we call compartmentalization of our problems.
Yeah.
And problems don't exist within, you can say this, a mathematical problem or a problem that needs a science solution necessarily.
Solely.
So what do you say about the educational system, and what changes will you recommend for us to change our perspective or our way of thinking?
Okay, so there are a couple of things. You know, school is a place where people learn, and they learn so that they can be able to build up their knowledge base and also to be able to improve upon their skills and competences so that they can be functional in society, right? So there are a number of things that we talk about when we are talking about challenges with education. One is the fact that it seems to be too much skewed to gaining knowledge as against what building what skills, competences, and attitudes. So that's one of the challenges that we have in our educational space. The other second challenge is the fact that even with the focus on gaining knowledge, we don't have a very like practical approach to what teaching and learning, such that and as much as we don't have a practical approach to, there are things that are missing in the mix. For example, the importance of critical thinking skills is missing. And so, I mean, people go through this process of rote learning, and when they come out and they are faced with very simple challenges, they find it really difficult to break those challenges and issues apart to be able to like properly analyze them and to be able to like begin to think of how do I resolve this. And so, to just put everything into a nutshell, I think what is important really is for education to be organized in such a way that we begin to look at it from a practical point of view. We begin to think of giving students challenges. You know, every term, you should have a major project that you have to deliver at the end of the term in order to improve your coordination skills. And I think that would really take us far.
Wow, interesting. Gamali. Entrepreneurship or employment? Which of these two will you choose any day, and why?
It's a really interesting question. I think everybody is different, and everybody, you know, have their own attitudes and tendencies. But if I am to come out with a general rule of thumb, I think entrepreneurship is really, really important. It's really crucial. It's so important such that even if you find yourself in an employment environment, you must begin to think of how to move the organization forward.
That's what they call intrapreneurship.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yes. So okay. Intrapreneurship has become another buzzword. And really, so I mean, I would choose entrepreneurship over just employment.
Wow, interesting. What would you say is your career today? Do you think it is a bad fit job? Is it your dream job? Or will you say it is a bridge job?
It's a very interesting question. I... In true reflection of my philosophy and attitude of thinking holistically, I don't see my career like stopping with my 9-to-5 employer. So I have my personal agenda, you know, my personal paradigm, and I define it this way: shaping Africa, shaping youth. So my
shaping Africa, shaping youth.
Yes,
very, very powerful.
So everything I do has to advance that agenda. So in my current job, which has to do with health, it's in a public health space. So exactly that, with some focus on youth and with some focus on women, we are looking at how to optimize health and well-being. And then beyond that, then I'm engaging all these STEM activities, particularly with the Global Lab Ghana group, where we are helping young people to build skills to be able to tackle some of the issues we are facing in Ghana today. And it's really
great. Wow, listeners, if you're getting this straight, what it means is that you can still be employed within the organization, but it is your duty to make sure that you have an agenda, a personal goal, a personal career agenda that you want to pursue to leave a dent on the universe. What would you say is your career and personal goal then, Gamelie?
Yeah, so my personal goal, again, it's towards like what I said, which is shaping Africa, shaping youth. I mean, in the long term, the way in which I see my career is to continue to... So basically, I just started working on a project which is aimed at equipping young people with skills in the area of STEM, like I said. And so my personal goal long term is to build a community where we advance what we call open science and open innovation. What we are trying to do is to create platforms to allow people to meet together, come up with various problems that are in their communities. We give them skills to be able to analyze those problems properly and then design solutions to them. So those solutions are transferred into projects that they can then actually implement and carry out. So we are looking at solving challenges in the area of environment and health. We are looking at solving problems in the area of improving education and also to tackle things like energy. You know, it all depends on what is of interest to the community and what we think is important wherever we live. And long term, that is
that's a great vision. That's a great goal. And I would love to be a part of that. We believe all humans are unique. What would you say is that particular skill or ability, talent or personality trait that makes you stand out from anyone else who does exactly what you do today?
I think throughout my life, what I can really vouch for is my ability to see the big picture, to be able to like spot trends. You know, sometimes it's not so easy to see the potential of something which is just starting out. But I think I'm usually able to see like what's going on right now and how that can potentially become something big. At the same time, I'm also quite good at connecting the dots. So like, for example, how do I apply technology, for example, to solve health problems? You know, how do we use all these new trends in open data and data analytics to solve problems in education, in health? I'm able to see these connections, and that is why I always push for an integrated approach to problem solving rather than just a compartmentalized approach.
An integrated approach to problem solving rather than
a compartmentalized approach.
Great. Personal innovation is defined as the ability to see new opportunities where others don't, create new positions and jobs that never existed while undergoing continuous learning and adapting to economic change. How important and relevant do you think the concept of personal innovation is today?
I think personal innovation is really important because we live in a world that is going, is undergoing rapid transformation. And some people say that we are in the era of the fourth industrial revolution. We are seeing advances in computing at a scale that has never been seen before. And this puts challenges to workers, you know. So, I mean, it's already been predicted that machines are going to take the place of humans in the workplace. And so that means that we are not only competing against other humans, but we are competing against what?
Machines.
So now the challenge for us is to be able to think strategically and be one step ahead of the game. And that means that we cannot go through life with a business as usual approach. We need to employ things like empathy that machines do not have. We need to look at things at a coordinated scale. And we need to be very original in our approach to doing things. And that means that you have to prepare yourself for the world that is coming tomorrow. And that also means that we all need new sets of skills and competencies,
yeah,
which can really make a difference for us. And so for everybody, for anybody to be ready for this world of tomorrow, using the paradigm of personal innovation, it means that you must look out for the set of skills and competencies that will be needed in the workplace of tomorrow, and make sure that you grasp those skills and you have them.
Innovation family, do you have the skill set that is needed for tomorrow's workplace, or you are still holding on to that skill set that is needed for yesterday's workplace? If you're thinking that the robots are taking our jobs and you are just afraid, please go get the skills that will give you that empathy. For instance, if you work in a restaurant, today we hear that there are machines or robots that are serving food.
They are preparing food as well.
Preparing food. But at the end of the day, what is that emotional connection that you can give that those machines or those robots cannot give?
Yeah.
What care, what extra care, human touch can you give? That is very important if you would survive in this very volatile job market of tomorrow. Who is that one individual, an icon, a celebrity, a mentor, or a coach that you look up to in everything you do, and why that person?
Wow, this is really interesting. I look up to several people, and here in Ghana, we have people like the Airtel CEO, Ms. Lucy Quist. Lucy Quist, fantastic lady. You know, she leads a big telecom organization, but at the same time has the time to develop projects and concepts that give young people hope and also makes them ready. You know, one of her initiatives, the bold new normal. Fantastic. Bold new normal.
One of them. I would really love to have her on my podcast.
Yeah, really, really fantastic initiative. You know, getting us to what, think big and to think ahead of the crowd. There's another gentleman called DK Osio Asare. He's currently working at Ashesi University. He's a design thinker. You know, he came up with a solution to solve e-waste in Agbogbloshie, for example, and also has so much to contribute in the area of architecture, urban planning, and city development. And these are people that I actually love and admire their work and aspire to also, you know, create solutions that would be on the same scale as what they have done.
You see, Innovation family, one of the things I love about this guest today is that he is really loving people from his own locality who are doing great stuff. He's looking up to people in his own locality. He's not going outside of his locality to look for people to inspire him. But he's been inspired by people within his locality. And I'm sure there's somebody else somewhere who is looking up to him as well. Do you think you are a brand today? Or do you believe you can become a brand that will drive emotions, loyalty, credibility, return on investment, and be remembered even if you are no more?
Well, just a quick comment to your previous statement before I continue. I mean, I'm talking about these people and they are here in Ghana with us, but it doesn't mean that they are just like local. These are world-class people who have done excellent jobs across the world and they are on the same stage with all the big people out there. So the point I want to make really is that we have champions that are in Ghana, around us. Can inspire us.
Yeah.
And they are the same level with all the people we look up to on a global stage. Now, do I believe that I am a brand today? I think I'm on the path to do something interesting and meaningful. I'm not there yet. But what's important really is to, you know, continue.
So tell us, what steps have you taken in the past and what plans do you have to make you become a brand, an icon, a personality that people can look up to?
Well, I mean, you mentioned my background in science education. I used to be a science teacher teaching chemistry, integrated science at Keta Senior High School. That was actually where I had the idea for Global Lab. So the Global Lab community started with a bunch of my students, like about 100 of them or so. And now we are 1,000+ community of people interested in science. I believe that in this country and elsewhere in Africa, people know me for, you know, championing science, you know. I mean, currently Next Einstein Forum Ambassador for Ghana, which means that I try to promote what the scientific community is doing here in Ghana to the rest of the world, and also continue to share what's going on globally with people in Ghana. And my work has also been recognized to some extent. New Accra named me among the top 30 Ghanaians they feel are ready to change the world. And that was really interesting in last year. And then I happened to also win the Steady UK Alumni Awards for Social Impact, which means that the British Council thinks that I'm one of the people using their education to actually, you know, impact society positively. But then these are basically like baby steps, and we aspire to
high heights,
not necessarily for ourselves, but we aspire to take on more complex challenges and work together with others to overcome them. Yeah.
Wow. I'm loving this. Your network is your net worth. We need to always think about who we know and who knows us to help advance our dreams. How do you go about networking with people necessary to achieve your dreams?
Yeah, this is a really interesting question, Eric. You know, when I started out, like just fresh out of university, you know, I grew up in the Volta region. I grew up in Keta, and then I came over to Accra for university. I knew barely nobody. And, you know, it's a very interesting thing. And at that point, I realized that if you want to move from step A to B, you know, you need to be in a community. You need to be among a group of people to propel you. And so I also realized and valued the importance of networking. One thing I've done is to embed myself in various communities where I'm of service. So, for example, within the Ghana Think Foundation, we've been organizing events for young people across the country. We've done bar camps. When I was in Keta, I actually helped to start bar camp in Ho. I helped to start the junior camp program. And so by involving yourself in such activities, what happens is that you begin to meet other like-minded people. You build a community. So you're networking with these people. It's on the premise of what you have in common. You know, it's an interactive give and take affair rather than, oh, yeah, here I am, you know. No. So most of my networking is within people interested in STEM, within people interested in youth development, within people interested within communities interested in social innovation, and that helps to create stronger bonds that we can then leverage on to pursue our various projects.
Innovation family, aren't you loving this? We all have to become innovators of our own careers and lives. Companies have always needed to innovate in order to stay relevant and competitive in the marketplace. But now, so do we as individuals. What do you do to make sure you stay educated, knowledgeable, and up to date as far as your area of expertise or industry is concerned?
So it's the same thing. I mean, using you know, your networks, attending various events, because when you go to events, you meet people who have like extremely brilliant ideas, you know, different from the ideas that you are used to on a day-to-day basis. I mean, social media has become another interesting way of keeping track with what's going on in the world. So again, you follow accounts that have relevance to your goals and to your careers, and you would always be kept on top of the game. Tool, also a digital tool that people use less regularly. For example, as I was discussing with you before this show, is the concept of podcasts, because podcasts are focus on specific subject areas, and then you can actually have time to listen to it and continue applying the principles thereof. Another interesting one is newsletters. People, again, do not use newsletters as much, but you know, there are certain professional associations that, as a young person aspiring to build a career or as aspiring to build a business, that you can belong to. And you join these associations, you participate in their activities, and then you subscribe to their newsletters. And these newsletters just come up with so many opportunities, and you are aware of all the
top. So let's make it more practical. You see, the skills of yesterday might not be as important in 5 years, and the technology we use today may be obsolete next year. Open your toolbox for my listeners. You see, you're talking already about some tools, some resources that you use.
Yeah.
So tell us, list for us some three or two tools, core tools that you use for your personal and professional life that you recommend to my listeners.
This is really, really interesting, because I'm more of an ideas man than anything. But so if we go back to the idea of skills. I mean, one of the important skills that everybody must have is in today's world, I believe, is data analytics. Your ability to collect good data, and your ability to clean that data, analyze that data, and then interpret
and manipulate.
Yes. Interpret it. So, in the area of data analytics, we have all sorts of tools. So, in terms of computer software, we have tools like Stata. It's something that you can learn.
Mention that tool again.
Stata.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
It's a software that helps you to analyze data.
Great.
We have, of course, Survey. You have to learn how to take simple surveys. So how can you use something like Google Docs, for example, to get information from people on maybe a business idea you have, you know, so that you can analyze it, and then what? So create your business concept based on the information have. You know, things like Excel, you know, I mean, people just use Excel to store phone numbers and addresses, but you can actually do so much with a tool like Excel. So I'll recommend that. The other skill that is also very valuable is the skill of what? Storytelling. Storytelling, it's an ancient human tradition. It allows us to connect with people, you know, very well. And it helps us to communicate complex ideas. You know, when you have a complex idea, you are able to break it down and then give that information to someone in a way, in simple language, in a way that they can understand, then you are a winner. And so when we say storytelling, we are looking at things like being able to stand out in front of a crowd and give a compelling presentation, not necessarily with PowerPoint or anything, but to be able to capture their imagination. We are talking of your ability to write, you know, crisply and clearly, succinctly, for people to understand. And in the digital age, again, back to social media, we have things like blogs, we have things like YouTube, and we have things like Twitter and others that people use intelligently to promote their cause. And so all of these skills must be in your arsenal if you are ready to take on the world.
As somebody interested in the STEM movement, or a member of the STEM movement, can you tell us about the concept of big data and its impact on small businesses, the concept of big data, VR, virtual reality, etc. This concept, so my listeners can appreciate and get ready for this issues that are these emerging themes that are coming up. Especially that concerns our careers, that concerns our businesses.
Yeah, okay, so I'll take big data. You know, as we move in the world, the physical world, you know, all our interactions, is data. You know, I'm talking to you, all everything I'm saying to right now is all
data.
Yes. If I move my hand and move my hand to the left, everything is data. So because of the increasing digitization, we have computers and everything. As we continue to use technology, all the websites we use, all the things we put out there, you know, all kinds of interactions you can think of, both in the physical and the virtual world, it's all what? Data. And so what big data does is to collect some of these interactions, looking at a particular use case together in such a way that normal statistical tools find it very difficult to analyze. So in order to do that, we move it to another field, which some people choose to call data analytics, where we use software, you know, specially created software to analyze this data, you know, to be able to get meaning out of it. And the reason why we use this is that it the data is rich, it's complete, you know. So unlike standard statistics where we sample the population, collect data, analyze it, and then use the result of our analysis to draw conclusions about the general population, what big data does is that it's to take all the data and actually use it in its analysis. So it becomes really, really powerful. Now, in the area of business, for example, in foreign countries where people go, and even in Ghana, where they have loyalty cards in certain shops, for example, when you go to the shop, they can, for example, track that everybody who buys oranges actually loves to buy some other thing.
Mangoes.
Let's say mangoes.
Yes.
And so what happens is that when they are arranging items in the shop, they follow all this trend, and then they will put oranges and mangoes side together by side. And so that increases the sale of that particular commodity.
Great.
You see. Another application is for example, you as a buyer, because you use a loyalty card, what they are doing is that they know what you buy, what you like to buy every week, every month. So they know what to advertise to you. So when you are on the internet or in your email or you're somewhere, you see all kinds of adverts, you know, just because you've gone to a shop.
And just because you visited that website, just because you watched that video on Facebook,
you begin to see,
and the video is related to camera gear or video production gear.
Yeah.
You begin to see adverts from Canon or adverts from some camera production companies. That's it.
Yeah. And now to move away from just business in general, another use of big data that I'm personally enthused about, for example, is that how do we use tools like sensors to, you know, track our interactions with the environment, and how can that help us to, you know, optimize our health and well-being? That's one area that I'm really interested in. So for example, can we, for example, you know, like right now we are able to have what we call personalized exposure monitors, which allow people to for example have certain small devices on them that they can use to, for example, measure the air quality. So, for example, as they are moving around, it can measure the level of carbon monoxide or particulate matter or some air pollutant that's in the environment. And so by being able to read this and being able to compare with standards, people who are at risk of certain health conditions like asthmatics or old people will be able to detect that, no, it's not safe for me to be in this environment. But, you know, with this whole idea of big data, can we all, for example, have some of these personalized exposure monitors, or enough people, not everybody, but enough people carry this exposure monitor such that when they measure air pollution where they are, we can collect all of this data together in a centralized spot and then use that information to predict that, okay, today air quality in Madina is not all that great. So, you know, people who are at risk should not be aware of going to such a place or not. So, I mean, it has tremendous across field, and it's really up to us to build our knowledge and our skills and competencies to be able to.
Innovation family, aren't you loving this? I am enjoying the episode, and very, very, very big value nuggets are being dropped, and I'm loving it. I believe that strong brands are those who are able to communicate their vision, their mission, and values to stakeholders in a way that resonates with them. And that is why they fall in love with them. Now tell us, how are you sharing your personality, your values, all this knowledge that you have, all these experiences that you are creating, and social impact work that you're doing with your target audience? How are you sharing this with them?
Okay, so currently I pour almost all my heart into the whole Global Lab community. And in Global Lab, we stand for three things. We stand for learning, we stand for friendship, and then we stand for service. And so that is what as a community, we are building ourselves on. And so that is what connects us together. And I think what we are creating so far is beautiful, and we hope to be able to take on the world with learning, friendship, and service.
Great. Personal innovation challenge now. On this podcast, we always have a personal innovation challenge for our guests. And it is the next big thing that you look at doing. The next time I meet you, what do you want to start? That if we meet again, we'll drink some wine? Or what do you take?
I think club or something.
Great. So we'll take some beer and have some party over. What big thing do you want to do?
Okay, so I already mentioned the Global Lab community, which is set up to be Ghana's community for open science and open innovation. And so the next time we meet, we should be talking about specific projects that are being developed within the Global Lab community. I just shared a concept around personalized air quality monitoring, you know, what we call the citizen science approach. I think we should probably be making some inroads in that area, you know, trying to come up with solutions to the problems we face.
Wow. Interesting. We have to constantly evolve, adapt to new realities, be accountable for ourselves, and think creatively if we want to survive. What final lesson or words of wisdom and guidance do you want to offer my audience who are also trying to be dream big, follow their passions, and create a career out of what they do whilst they impact the world?
Yeah, my message to them is simple. It is, let us use the tools we have to solve the problems we face.
So let's use the tools we have today to solve the problems we face. The tools are available. Let's use them to solve the problems of the day. Are you ready to make your personal innovation pledge now?
Certainly.
Great. So you will say after me, I pledge to continue living my dream.
I pledge to continue living my dream.
I pledge to dream bigger about who I am.
Think bigger about who I am.
I pledge to think bigger about who I am.
I pledge to think bigger about who I am.
And change the world by doing work I love.
And change the world by doing work I love.
So help me God.
So help me God.
On behalf of the Personal Innovation family, we have witnessed your pledge and pray you fulfill it. Amen. Thank you very much for coming to this podcast.
Thank you, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Remember to subscribe because there's more to come. Follow Eric on Twitter at Sir Eric Suryiram, and on Facebook, facebook.com/personalinnovationhub. Remember to rate and review the show. Share this with friends who need to hear.